Hey everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Mooney. I'm here with
Polly Presenza, otherwise known as the Moo Cow Moo.
And we also have a very special guest here. She suffered earlier through the poor movie that we watched, Turkish Star Wars. But she's back again. Please welcome Lenore Miller. How you doing, Lenore?
Hi. I'm okay, I think.
A long-suffering Lenore Miller.
She suffered through a lot this week, but I don't think you're going to suffer through this one.
She's gone from NASA to Ice Cream Bunny to Mum Squatch, and now
she's going to deal with Pocket Ninjas.
Pocket Ninjas, a movie I was going to do at some point, but Mr. Moody was so excited about it, he wanted to do it himself.
I wanted to do it, and it's one of those movies that it gets a lot of attention through other means. I think like Red Letter Media has done it, and I'm sure other, you know, other things have done it. It is not great, but it is fun. It is a fun
Ridiculous.
Movie. I think you'll enjoy it a lot more than the last one you just watched. Because it's more American, I think. I think a lot of what probably put you to sleep to Turkish Star Wars was that it was in another country and subtitles and just like incoherent.
And the subtitles didn't help.
It was just nonsense. Gobbledygook. So this one I think will be a lot more fun.
Yeah,
for
the
you.
Gobbledygook is in English.
The gobbledygook in this movie is in English, so you might actually be able to pay somewhat attention to
it. Right.
You know, I think you'll like it a lot more.
And it is at least half the movie is from the guy who gave us Roller Gator.
Yeah, so Paul was really, like, has been excited about doing this anyway, because half the movie was by Donald G. Jackson, which is the guy who did Roller Gator and Baby Ghost and other movies that we're going to eventually do.
Rollerblade.
Rollerblade and things like that. So this movie, was done half by him and half by another person. And we'll get into that after we go and watch the movie in a little bit. But before then, we're going to play some mood music. And we are back. Man. I'd seen this movie a while back, but I don't really remember a lot of it. And
oh, I do.
And yeah, and Paul did. So Paul remembered a lot of stuff, and including a lot of background on the film and stuff. But
Stinky.
Pocket Ninjas movie was not what I remembered it necessarily being. But to give a little background on it, it was directed by a guy named David Eddy, or Dave Eddy.
At least partially.
Partially directed. He did, I believe he did a lot of the comedy stuff, as we've kind of noticed.
Comedy.
He didn't do a lot of the skating and everything. All those sequences were done by, or the fighting, all were done by Donald G. Jackson.
Yeah, that guy did most of the failure.
Yeah, so alright. So basically, originally scripted by Mark Williams as Skate Dragons.
Skate Dragons.
For director Donald G. Jackson, the film was intended to showcase the experimental Zen filmmaking technique developed by Jackson and Scott Shaw, in which a movie is produced without a proper screenplay and minimal preparation to encourage spontaneous creativity.
There you go.
Jackson was fired by executive producer David Huey for being weird. And Huey took over direction. Dave Eddy was then hired to direct additional scenes to incorporate both Jackson and Huey's footage and supervise post-production. This resulted in a disjointed, oftentimes incoherent final film.
Yeah, so, think?
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, there you go. It says, though, Scott Shaw and Tadashi Yamashita, Yamashita. Okay. Yamashita. Okay, we'll get into the karate aspects of this film. But Yamashita is actually a big named karate expert in Shorinryu Karate. Their performances were not filmed in the movie for this movie. The footage that were used were taken from an unseen film, film for 1991's film Capital Punishment, that was directed by the executive producer of this film, David Huey. So, yeah, so basically, this guy, Dave Eddy, executive produced the film but didn't like Donald Jackson, so he fired him and hired and took over the production, and then also hired another guy to basically fill in the blanks.
I love how he quote-unquote fired him because he was weird.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but that's awesome.
Why did you hire Donald G. Jackson in the first place? Did you not know who this man is?
Yeah, this man's weird, and I love it.
That's generally right. Absolutely.
You know, this movie would have been a better movie
had Donald G. Jackson. It would have been a million times better.
And it would have actually been coherent.
Yes.
You know.
And we could have been talking about it just like the other three kitty movies.
I know. We probably wouldn't have done it till later because, you know, I know you like to do your Donald G. Jackson movies. Mm-hmm. Like, Donald G. Jackson is your guy, generally.
It's just that, unfortunately, while he does the best parts of the film, the movie's ruined by these horrible, horrible comedic scenes that are just unbelievably bad.
Yeah.
Unbelievably bad.
Terrible.
And it ruins the flow of the movie, it ruins the narrative of the movie, it ruins everything.
Exactly. And this was filmed, I think, in California, in L.A., at Santa Monica, you know, or whatever.
Right around the same time and using the same folks as all the other movies that Donald G. Jackson was doing. Well,
it says it's 1997 on the IMDb, but it was 94.
Right.
We saw that, copyright 1994.
Right.
So Roller Gator, I believe, was the same time, right? Or just about. It was 96. So this was before Roller Gator. Dude,
Roller Gator is a far superior film in all aspects.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You haven't seen Roller Gator, have you?
I have.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, Lenore, you've seen
Roller Gator. One of the first movies I showed her.
Oh, well, because it's cute.
It's adorable. It's wonderful.
You liked it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You liked it much better than this one, right? Please tell me this.
Yeah.
If you didn't, I would be surprised.
I mean, it's a stinker. Let's not kid ourselves about that. But it's a lot more fun and a lot better told than this one.
All right. So, can you, Lenore, give us a, you know... Break down the story.
Three kids are picked by their sensei. They say master in the film.
Sensei.
Okay. Sensei to be the next dragons. Mm-hmm. And they're given these masks and black robes. And the masks look something between Evil Bunny and Discount Klingon.
And also looked a little like a clown. I thought clowns when I saw it.
That's what I thought too. They probably were clown masks. Chinese clown masks.
Yeah.
Cheap props that were bought.
So they put on rollerblades and these masks and fight crime.
Fight crime, boo-boo!
Even though they're kids, and these criminals are criminals and adults.
Right.
And it's night in a lot of the fight scenes.
And you'd think there are significant disadvantages to fighting while on roller skates.
And in a mask that cuts off vision.
Yeah. There you go. But they fought these, the stingers.
Yes, tell us about these horrific, incredibly vicious and professional bad guys that are the stingers.
Over the top bad guys that are really bad at fighting. Their main weapon seems to be money, but they don't use it competently.
They don't use anything competently.
And their big, bad, evil plot is toxic waste in the ocean.
Yeah, so it's an environmental, like, you know, let's destroy the environment.
At least,
and their boss is like a 10-year-old kid.
At least is what the comic book says. Because I think that's what it's implying at the end of the movie, that the whole thing is a comic book that they're reading.
I guess. I mean, yeah, they're reading a comic book in the
It's the kissing house. Cousin of It Was All a Dream.
Right.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Basically.
Which is why, so there was a part in the movie that confused the fuck out of me, where she was, like, asking to come up on in the treehouse, and one kid was like, I don't want her, and I'm like, you've been training with her, like, you know, for the past, whatever, for a while, and now you don't want her to be...
No.
Which didn't make sense. Also, well...
The rope in the treehouse is not strong enough for anybody to climb up that tree.
Probably not.
Not even this stupid little kid.
But what I'm saying is that I think that when she says that, that's another day that they're continuing to read this comic. It's never, like, if it started off that way, where one kid came up a treehouse and said, hey, can I, you know, do you want to read this comic, and they all read it together, then that would make sense. But I think the idea was they wanted to fool you, and at the end you go, oh, it was just a comic
book. See, I don't even think it was that far planned out. I think they were just trying to make do with what they had, which is, you know, a movie that was two-thirds shot by Donald G. Jackson, leaning in one direction. And then they had extra footage brought in. And they said, well, let's just try to make it work somehow. Let's just do this. And
yeah.
Let's just put it out there. It's still the VHS universe out there. And
people aren't going to care.
They're not going to care.
They're going to buy it because the cover... Kids,
and that's it.
Because the cover has a kid ninja in it. And then they're going to go, kids are gonna flock to it. So continue the plot. So there's a like a little kitty... gang leader.
Yeah, 10-year-old boss.
10-year-old boss. And his name is Cubby Khan.
What?
Kid yeah. Logic.
He was Cubby Khan. He was the son, I guess, of Cobra Khan.
And I guess Cobra Khan is dead.
Robert Zadar?
Yeah, but is he? Was he? Like,
I don't think any of them were real.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
They're all part of the comic book fantasy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically the plot is these three kids fight crime while one of their parents is dating or wants to date their sensei. And, yeah, that's basically the whole plot.
Yeah.
So they never really handle the crime, the larger crime issues. One of their parents gets kidnapped trying to date the sensei, and they rescue her.
Because she was chasing some... First, she was chasing some coupons on a string.
Right, first she was chasing money.
Well, oh, she ignored the money.
She ignored the money.
She was chasing the coupon, and then they got her to chase a poster of Jeff Daniels.
Of Jeff Daniels. And so... Which, how do they... Well, first of all, how do they know he had a poster? And secondly, how do they find that? You know, well, I mean, logic, you can always say, it's a comic book. You know, and it didn't have to do anything.
Ridiculous. Yeah, this is ridiculous kid logic / comic book / nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it had been left alone, if it had just been a kid ninja movie by Donald G. Jackson, this would have been fine. But I imagine David Hugh being the producer, he was the guy who put up the money. So that's where all this comes from, because he who has the money has the film.
Right. Exactly. So, Lenore, let's break down the characters.
And this is why I wish we could get a hold of Scott Shaw and get him on our show, even though I know he doesn't want to really talk about stuff. But he would have a lot of insight as to what happened in this situation.
He would have, especially since he didn't produce it, actually. Mm, you know, exactly. So he probably would know a lot.
Sorry.
You know, it's okay.
She's doing her forms.
Yeah,
she's doing her forms. Lenore forms.
Which annoyed the hell out of you, didn't it?
So many
forms. So much of this movie is just people doing katas in front of the camera.
Right. Just pretty much.
Or katas. Fake ones.
Or fake ones.
Yeah, fake ones. Oh my goodness. It was crazy. It was like, they're just basically, you know, just punching the air,
so
kicking the air.
So you were a Karate Kid for a while, Mr. Moody. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about the karate that they talk about and how real was this? You get to be the Lenore of the show this time.
Oh, for that? Yeah, because she's normally the science expert. I guess I'm the
martial arts
karate expert. Yeah, I did karate from, 88 or 90. I was about 6 years old or so when I got into 6-7 years old. And then I studied all the way up to about 18 years old and then I quit. Because I had to concentrate on finishing up high school and, you know, whatnot. And I got up to junior black belt. And it was in Shorinru Karate. The exact same schooling that they had. So now I'm wondering, because they mentioned Yamashita in the thing there. And he is he's actually a big-time karate guy in Shorinru Karate. So maybe he was He was probably visiting at the time, and they just were like, hey, you want to be in this movie?
So do they have like a Holstein belt, you know, sort of black and white?
What?
You know, karate belts instead of black belt, black and white.
No, they didn't do black and white. It was always, I mean, they did a white belt, and they do black belts.
Because I'd want a cow belt. That would be awesome. No,
they don't have cow belts.
Oh.
Sorry, man. No, and the funny thing is, all the kids were, of course, black belt, because that's how to show that these kids are good martial artists. But you, in Shorter Karate, I've never seen a kid black belt. Now, like kid, you know, like whatever, 10 years old or whatever. They're usually about what I got, about 16 or so. There might have been young kids that were able to move up that quickly, but it took a lot of time to, like, I mean, you have to do a lot of tests, and it took years to get to that thing because there's a lot of belts.
Not 5 minutes of doing forms?
No. Amazing. None of that. So it was, you know, it took a while. So, I mean, obviously this is a movie, you know, and it's a comic book in a movie. You know, which makes it even, like, faker, you know? So you can do almost anything in a comic. You can almost do anything in a movie.
But even as a 10-year-old kid, you're not going to put up with this nonsense. It was ridiculous.
If I was reading a comic about a bunch of black belt kids, I probably would.
Comic, yeah, but this movie?
Right. No, if you watch this movie as a kid, you're probably bored.
Oh, yeah.
You were saying that earlier, and even you said that, because... You know, I mean, if you had watched this movie as a kid, you would have turned it off after, like, maybe 5 minutes, because it is not action-packed, but it...
And lots of talking and standing still.
And the comedy is so terrible.
Awful.
Yeah, I find it unrealistic that, especially the kid would be so sexist if they've really been training together for long enough to be black belts in the same class.
Right. So I don't see him going... You know, because he was at one point, he was like, oh, you're a girl. I'm blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah. So I think that was that whole stuff with him. Actually, he did do that in the comic, too. Because if that's still a comic, he was putting on the mask. I don't know, man. This movie confused the hell out of me.
That's why they were saying it's disjointed. It's disjointed as hell. So what happens when you have a director and, you know, you're going in one way and all of a sudden you stop and then you bring in other people and then you try to... You know, so Frankenstein a movie together with too many different visions and too many different directions.
This plot that they have on IMDb is so wrong. And you're going to find it real quick.
What's it say?
It says the evil Cobra Khan, right, rises from the underworld and begins polluting the environment. No, he didn't.
No.
The white dragon tries to stop him, but is injured. So he must pass the job on to his 3 teenage students. That's not the... Because the polluting the environment didn't happen until after Cobra Khan had left, you know?
Like, yeah, and I'm pretty sure they're not all teenagers. Like, the youngest looked...
Oh, he was 10.
11, maybe 12?
Yeah, he was like 10
And then
years
there's
old.
The boss kid.
Eddie was the kid from Little Lost Sea Serpent, which we have not covered yet, but we will on Indie Film Cafe.
What was his name? What was that kid's name?
Buffalo, something like that.
What was his, like, what was the character's name in the... Steve?
He was Little Stevie.
Yeah, Steve looked 12 at the oldest, and then Boss Kid on the Cubby Con was 10-ish.
Oh, did you know this? He died?
What?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
In 2017, the little kid died, Steve.
No, I did not know that.
No, he was 34. What did he die of? Suicide.
That's
terrible.
Groomed
that just,
himself
that just...
to be a big star, and he turned out not to be.
Aww.
Well, that kind of puts a damper on this.
I know. That just made me sad. He was in a lot of stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
He was, wow. Holy cow.
The curse of Donald G. Jackson.
No. No, we don't blame it on Donald.
No. This is none of this. I mean, you know, it's bad when Donald G. Jackson is the best part of the movie, but he really, really is. And, you know, like I said, had it been more of Donald G. Jackson, this would have been a much better, much more interesting film.
Yeah. So that's sad. So there was... Okay, so Steve was Bradley Joseph. He went by Brad Bufonda, but I'm guessing he changed his name later to Bradley Joseph, and I'm guessing he did that to get away from movies like this. You know, that he's attached to.
Sure.
Spike? Which one was Spike? It says Richard Rabago was Spike.
Oh, I forget which one that was.
He's one of the men fighters or whatever.
Yeah, he was.
He
older.
Died in 2012.
Wow.
Jeez, Robert Zadar died in 2015.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is sort of a cursed movie.
Told you.
Gary Daniels is only one of the ones that's alive. Jeez.
Does he still have his mullet? That's what I want to know.
This is what he looks like now.
Oh, okay.
No. Doesn't have the mullet anymore. Sandy Tanya had only done that movie. Joseph Valencia, who played Damien, one of the other kid, the one with the mom. He was only in this. This is his only movie.
That's another hallmark of Donald G. Jackson. He'll just pluck people out of the midair and just put them in a movie, and then they're never seen again.
And they never act in anything else, and probably because they had such a great time on this one.
I mean, Sandy was pretty. You could have expected her to go on to do more things. It's just, you know, LA's full of pretty girls, so it's not going to help.
So most of the people haven't done anything.
What about Mom?
Mom, Suzanne, what was her name? Suzanne
Henniger.
She was not only the actress in this, but she was also the casting director.
There you go. So she gets a little juicy role.
Yeah, she put herself in a juicy role. There's a character named Blue Ninja. I don't remember that.
That one.
Yeah. Let's see. Anybody else that I recognize or anything? Nope. It's just Scott Shaw and Tadashi Yamashita, uncredited. They were just like extras, I guess. Mm. So, there's a bunch of stingers, but nobody big.
Who's the tall chick? I don't remember her. She might have been something.
You mean the girl who was, like, fighting them randomly? That just shows up randomly in the movie?
Right.
Her name's Donna Simanu? Simanu?
Did she do anything else?
No, that's it. But she played Harpy / Amy.
There you go.
But yeah, there's a guy named a character named Slag, played by
Guy in the trash can.
Yeah, the guy in the trash can. He was in Lethal Ladies, Return to Savage Beach.
Oh, nice.
He was in Martial Law, the TV show. He was in Champions, Tao of Karate, Deathmatch, Midnight Man, Red Sun Rising. I mean, he's just been to be the best. He's been in a bunch of these karate, Ring of Fire 2, which is actually a pretty big movie. I think he had a small part. He's Avengers Gang. Yeah, so he just plays he's just like one of the gang members of everything. So this probably seemed to be like most likely his bigger part, you know. They gave him a part where he could be in a trash can.
As you do.
Sounds normal. Black Knight / Commando Dragon is Ron Hall. I don't remember him, but he's been in stuff like Vampire Assassin.
So let's talk a little bit about the comedy portions. Yes, we do, because they're the worst things about this film. Like the very first thing with the whole balloon scene in the
they only had like three jokes.
Yeah, and that was one of them.
Sudden dancing is one of the jokes.
So, yeah, the white dragon, which is, I guess, supposed to be Gary
Daniels. It was a rabbit.
Whoever he was, went up against Robert Zadar.
I thought it was a rabbit.
You thought it was a rabbit?
Yeah, I did not realize it was a dragon, because the hair thing looked like ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. And rather than have a real fight, they have some kind of Three Stoogey cartoony nonsense
and then
with
dance
balloons.
Off. Yeah.
But wasn't that supposed to be the virtual reality? Because you see, you know, see him later.
Later on, it says virtual reality, but no, we're not prepared for that. They just do that weirdness, and we're like, what the hell's going on?
Because they fight Cobra Khan in the virtual reality thing at the end.
Right, at the end.
And that is very much the same thing. It's like,
right, but that at least gets the introduction that it's this ridiculously horrible, cheap virtual reality. We don't even get that introduction with the first one. We just walk right into it and we're like, what the fuck?
I mean, I don't think this was obviously planned out, right? Remember, this was this is like a mishmash of stuff, but like, I think they were trying to make the thing say that this was all like virtual reality, but actually it shouldn't be, because there's at one point, remember, they go into the balloon place and they like kick the people out. That wouldn't happen in a virtual reality thing. So I don't know what in the world is going on.
But did you find the scene funny?
No, it's annoying. It's annoying when like they're supposed to be banging each other on the head or like poking each other in the eye. Very Three Stooges.
Even if you were a kid, would you have found this funny? No, it's terrible.
No, I would have been bored.
I would have been infuriated.
Yeah, like,
you promised me a fight, and instead you're giving me shenanigans.
This movie is an obvious ripoff of what a movie came out around that time called Three Ninjas.
Mm-hmm. I saw that movie.
You saw Three Ninjas.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On TV.
And Three Ninjas is a fun movie. It's these three kids, all boys, who are fighting, you know, taking down the crime lord or whatever.
It's not great. It's silly, but it's 100 times better than this film.
It's at least slightly more realistic. I mean, they don't have kids just fighting adults outright. They have to draw them into traps and stuff.
Right, exactly. And they have to do stuff like Three Ninjas had like Home Alone, you know, kind of thing. And that's what it was. It was supposed to be a martial arts Home Alone. Mm-hmm. And it worked really well for that. This is, somebody saw that and said, that's very popular right now. Surf ninjas and, you know, and Three Ninjas. So they said Pocket Ninjas. And they decided to make this. And it didn't, like, I think the original title that Donald G. Jackson had of Roller Ninjas sounded much better, mm-hmm. you know.
For kids, and that would have worked.
I would have loved that. I would have loved to see more roller skating stuff. I would have loved to see less Robert Zadar stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah, that whole
comic. He was the worst part of this movie, and he's normally not. So it's not, you know, like, you know what I mean? He's usually one of the best parts. Mm-hmm. Like, you watch any movie that he's
in. And it wasn't the only terrible comedy. Like, the whole thing with Cubby Kai and his two assistants, you never saw anybody else in the gang when they were doing their little practicing. And they were all terrible. They weren't doing real forms. They're just sort of flailing around aimlessly. And then the two older guys who are acting like children, you know, getting beaten up because they're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why are you even in this gang? What is the point? This is just stupid nonsense.
All of it was stupid nonsense. The whole movie was just padding.
It was padding to connect. It's like, let's take advantage of the good stuff that Donald G. Jackson shot, and we'll put in this ridiculous comedy nonsense and just pad the film out so that it's long enough that we can make it an actual release.
Right.
You know?
Now, I'm wondering if the director's still alive.
And the kids won't care. But they do care. You know, I remember being young and seeing movies that supposedly adults made for us and thinking, this is terrible. Why can't they make a better movie for kids? You know?
Well, they just don't want to, I guess. David Huey, the director, did, had done stuff like Capital Punishment, Karate... Oh, wow, he did all the movies that this guy in the trash can were in. So,
there you go. That's
Karate Wars, Full buddy. Impact, Power Elite, Giants, Carnival Evil, you know? But I don't know if he's still alive or not, it doesn't say. It would be interesting to... Yeah. I would love to ask him why he thought Donald G. Jackson was weird.
Well, because clearly he's trying to make more of a traditional exploitation action thing and trying to do that. I think he wasn't comfortable with the idea of kids on roller skates doing this. And, you know,
that had to have been the point of the movie.
I know, but somewhere along the line, I guess he figured if he's spending the money, he'd rather bring in Gary Daniels, whom we already had. And
no, I think Gary Daniels was... I feel like Gary Daniels' stuff... Because here's my problem with a lot of this stuff. If Donald G. Jackson got fired, they still had the kids right now then? So they still shot with those kids that they picked?
Right. See, I think more of it would have been with the kids. I think Daniels was probably in there for a while, but... Not originally, I don't think he would have been there longer. I think he would have been in just a supporting role. I think he transitioned and they said, well, we've got him, we're spending the money, we might as well use him more. Because originally he was just supposed to have been shot and not gotten in, you know, is involved in the movie. But they had him there, so let's just have him do forms and weird shit, and we'll film it, and we'll add it in.
It's funny, because it says special appearance by him.
Right.
He was in the whole fucking movie.
So my feeling is that he was originally brought in maybe for a day to do some stuff, to be the sensei, and then conveniently get hurt and not appear in the film as much. And by the time that Donald G. Jackson was asked to go away, they said, well, we have him. Let's get Robert Zadar too, and we'll turn this into something more adult, and we'll go with it that way.
Yeah, they fucking Troma'd it.
Yeah, they ruined it.
Like, because Troma does that where they can't do a kid movie, you know, or whatever. It has to have the adult stuff. So Sergeant Kabuki Man, which could have been a really fun, you know, kids movie-ish kind of thing, or whatever, teenage movie, PG-13 and whatnot, became R-rated and became pretty, right. You know, whatever. Right. I don't know if this is R-rated, but this is close, probably. I mean,
you know, Donald G. Jackson is pretty good as far as making R-rated movies,
too. Oh, it's okay. It's PG, but...
But, in his defense, when he makes the ones for kids, he makes them for kids. And there is no crossing the line there. And he's done a good job for that.
We saw Roller Gator. We've also seen Baby Ghost. Mm-hmm. We're going to do The Lost Sea Serpent.
Which we watched. You know, we just haven't covered it yet.
Yeah, which we watched, we've seen, and we know it's good.
The Donald G. Jackson Kitty trilogy is a seriously underlooked and underappreciated set of films, in my opinion. And I know folks, you know, some folks don't like to talk about them, but they're actually pretty good.
This could have been one of them, too.
Yes, this could have been one of them, too.
It is definitely not.
And I can see how afterwards Donald G. Jackson probably didn't want to deal with it anymore because he probably wasn't able to do them the way he wanted to do them.
Well, no, I think he did with those ones, those three.
Those ones, yeah, but yeah. I think this came after.
This came after that?
I think so.
Okay.
That's my feeling.
Well, that's 94, man, so I don't even know the dates because all the dates on these are like 95, 96. Man,
we got to get Scott Shaw on the
interview. I tried.
Give him money, give him our souls, give him something.
Yeah.
Because he's the man with all the answers. He really is.
He is. He would know all the stuff.
I'd give anything to have Donald G. Jackson still with us so we could talk to him.
God, So you, Lenore, you loved us skating earlier, right? You just said, you know, that was like probably your favorite part, right?
Yeah. So watching. Yeah, the roller skating parts were probably the most engaging parts of this.
Right. Not the karate parts, but the...
And them standing still in front of the camera. Yeah, that's kind of boring.
Unusual. You don't see roller skating kung fu movies because that's A, it's dangerous, and B, it's weird. But that's exactly the kind of thing I bet this producer is like, well, I don't know, understand why they're on roller skates.
Well, because that's Donald G. Jackson.
Exactly. His
biggest movie at that time was Rollerblade.
It's part of his thing. It's, yeah. You know, he doesn't do movies the normal way that other people do it.
And that was what Rollerblade was about, like rollerblading gang, you
know?
And
that's why you hire a Donald G. Jackson to do your film and not a David Huey. You can make it any kind of different directors can do that. But nobody can give you roller skating ninjas. You know, I only wish there had been a roller skating ninja plastic wrapping alligator to go with it. That would have been awesome.
You would have loved that.
I would have loved that.
Dave Eddy, you know, also directed some of it or whatever, mm-hmm. too. Kind of tried to piece things together to make whatever, you know, each of those guys do work and make a cohesive story. So I give Dave Eddy credit for trying.
He was in a very bad position because clearly the two directors and the footage from the two, they don't mesh up. They really don't. And he had to sort of shove them together.
He was the one who probably tried to make it into a comic, you know.
Ugh.
That was, you know, because like at that time he was probably thinking to himself, there's no other way I can make this like action, you know, other than it's all a dream, mm-hmm. which we've all seen. But at least it's all a comic, you know, it's more for kids, you know, or whatever. So I would go with that. I would think that's what that kid guy did. He shot some of those scenes, and that's it. Because
that over-the-top, weird, you know, batshit crazy, stupid comedy stuff is not Donald G. Jackson. He would never have done something like that.
Yeah, that was David Ridiculous. Huey, most likely. Yeah. That would be my guess, is David Huey did the... Robert Zadar stuff, you know, the gangs fighting.
Doink, doink, doink.
I think all the Robert Zadar stuff was, because you never see him in anything else, you know, or whatever.
So. Or maybe you saw him like momentarily or something. I don't know. At one point he had that cheesy mustache on and he came out.
Well, I'm saying, I think Dave Huey directed that part, you know, and everything. And then Dave Eddy put everything together and from the mishmash of stuff. And like, you can't tell unless you had somebody like Scott Shaw who might know. He might not know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he knows. And you know, most people are going to see this and not understand it, and they're going to see that it's disjointed, but they're not going to sit there and be able to identify scenes like we did. We could tell when it was Donald G. Jackson's film
that you definitely could tell.
Absolutely. He has a style. He has a certain way. And if you've seen enough of Donald G. Jackson's movies, you can pick it out easily. And they are nothing like this other guy's.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not the same tone, not the same anything.
The fight scenes themselves were actually pretty damn good.
You mean when they weren't the ridiculous, you know, game
stuff? Yeah, when they're not, like, poking each other in the eye or popping each other in the
head. Or when they're not just doing worthless forms.
Yeah, or that. Well, that's not fighting. That's just, I guess, practice or training. We talked about this dancing. The last one. Last movie had a lot of, had that training montage. This had, like, 20 of them.
None of them tied boulders to their legs. That, oddly enough.
She still needs to see that part. You know, right? You still need to see the boulders to the legs scene. Do you think you would have loved that?
But I heard Lenore groaning in anger every time the guy would say something crappy to the girl.
Right.
Yeah. It's not funny.
No. It's very...
And a solid third of the film's jokes were relying on little kid is sexist.
Well, and to be fair, a lot of little kids are sort of sexist when they're kids.
The quote-unquote because, fat Republican.
Yeah. God. Yeah. That part, we'll talk about in a second. But even when I was a little boy, it was always like, boys are better than girls. And look, I'm not saying that was, you know, right.
It's not funny. But yeah,
it's not funny either. But it's... It's how it was, you know, when you're a kid.
Even when I was around fourth grade is when people started growing out of that.
But when you're like...
Stevie apparently never did.
Well, he was still like 10 years old. He's still probably... He's just about over.
Because at least the other boy did.
The other boy starts falling in love. Yeah, sure. They had that little romance.
She was kissing him and he was like, oh, okay, yeah.
I was like, all right, now I like her. You know, because that came out of nowhere. Mm. They weren't like, there was no like hint of any kind of like feelings for each other. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, like she gives him a kiss. And I'm like.
And you see, that would have been an interesting plot to develop had Donald E. Jackson been left alone and allowed to do his thing. That would have been something followed.
That probably would have been a thing that he did. Because he's done that with other movies. Yeah. You know, he's had that little like, well. You know, the roller gator and the girl, you know, that little relationship there. But
it did miss Conrad Brooks. Conrad Brooks would have helped this movie a lot.
Yeah, they had Robert Zadar, but even Robert Zadar just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Conrad Brooks or Joe Estevez. It would have been nice to have those guys in this movie.
Yeah, they had Mel Novak, and he just didn't quite pull it off.
Well, I get Mel Novak since he was in, like, Game of Death, and he's been in a bunch of stuff. But I hadn't recognized him, and how hard did I care? Like, his character was so...
Superfluous.
Yeah, it was like... At one point, I just sort of laughed because he's like, all, you know, you're a little punk kid. You know, your dad used to have us, and now, you know, now I have to deal with you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, why do you have to deal with this kid? Like, go somewhere else. You know,
exactly.
Like, what is this kid's not like a millionaire or something? That would have been cool if that kid had like a mansion, you know, or what? You know, see all those '80s movies, old '80s action movies where like the big bad guy's this like rich guy in a mansion who blah 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 and smoking cigars. If there was like a kid fake smoking a cigar, not obviously really smoking a cigar, but like having like a fake thing that looks like a cigar, you know, that, you know, up in a freaking mansion, that would have been fun, you know.
Well, but, I mean, there's no reason for this kid to be in charge of anything. There's no reason for this incompetent gang to be feared by anybody, but that's the whole thing. It's a comic book, and Who knows if, you know, what explanations there could have been if, again, if Donald G. Jackson had been allowed to actually pursue the film and pursue the story. Who knows? He probably had something up his sleeve for it, but we never got to it.
Sadly, no.
Sadly, no. And we'll never know unless, you know, I mean, he has shot a bunch of stuff where he talks about things, and I think Scott Shaw will release them on various places now and again. You look out and you'll see it on, like, YouTube or something. I don't know if he'll ever talk about those films. I think he had a bad taste in his mouth with his experience with the kiddie movies, which is a shame. Because, like I said, they're kind of underrated. But I would love to know more information about the making of this film. And, you know, I think on the DVD it said something about movie facts or movie something or... So I haven't actually looked at that, so I want to check that out.
All right, so here's some goofs in the movie.
Oh, tons of that.
Yeah, during the fight in the balloon factory, the White Dragon's shoe changed from sneakers with white bottoms to boots with black bottoms.
Okay.
And that's fun. During the final fight in the Stinger's headquarters, Steve bites a gang member's leg.
Even though he's wearing a mask.
The gang member even responds with a muffled scream. Steve is wearing a mask that covers his entire face. But he could easily bite through a cloth mask.
Of course.
Jack Crenshaw frequently refers to Cobra Khan as the leader of the Stingers, but Cubby Khan leads the Stingers. Cobra Khan only appears in the flashbacks or the scenes from the comics. Mr. Kaufman tells Cubby that he only gives him business out of respect for his father, which suggests that Cobra is dead, which right. I think you said earlier. And this is the bit that Lenore also mentioned before, is Steve plays a Game Boy without a Game Boy cartridge.
Yes!
Which I think probably happened also in Little Lost Sea Serpent, you know, or whatever. What was it?
Yeah, well, no, in Baby Goes, where they're... Remember, he's trying to trap Baby Goes by putting a Game Boy down, you know? Because that's what the kids are liking.
Yeah, which I don't know if they had the rights to Game Boy. I'm pretty sure they probably didn't. But yeah, that was that's ridiculous. Once you start doing something as silly as having a showing that, and that was very visible. It wasn't something that, you know. It's just it's beyond ridiculous.
Right, and then the worst thing is that, you know, most of the first half of the film is actually, it's not bad. It's you can enjoy it for its qualities and its silliness. The second half, it really drags and drags because it's just the same stuff. And when you have to sit there and watch more forms and more forms and more forms, and even Gary Daniels' character starts doing a bunch of them when he's not even in the picture anymore, but we're still forced to watch him do more shit. And it's just like, oh, for God's sakes, move it along.
Well, there's
without all the practicing single person in the shot doing karate thing, I think this would have been like 30 minutes.
Right, yeah. A lot of it was dragged out because of that, which drove us crazy. Oh, yeah. We, all three of us, were just like cringing in our seats.
And we're not even kids. Imagine little kids watching this and getting bored.
Not even a half hour, 10 minutes into this movie, they would have tuned out. I know as a kid, I wouldn't have been interested in this movie. I would have been bored. I would have been like, oh, this is like worse than Three Ninjas, you know, or whatever. But so there was one scene where the master walks in and he's hurt and everything. Then it cuts to, they start talking over him, and no, he's not talking, but his voice is talking, right? And then it cuts to the scene inside the dojo. So he's in his house. So what you generally do as a filmmaker or editor when you're doing that is you have that scene where the person walks in, you know, to the house or whatever, and then, like, as hurt, and then you kind of dissolve, and then he's at the, you know, thing. Because it could be another day, it could be whatever, it doesn't matter. We know that there's a dissolve, there's, you know, we're now here, we know that. But they just cut, slam, and it is so jolting and so weird that I was like, what in the world? Like, so now he's hurt there? Like, it didn't make any sense. And it took me a second to realize, oh, okay, like, it was supposed to be that he was hurt and he came into his house, then it's the next day or whatever, and he's talking to them, you know, and everything.
And Lenore saw right away that the girl had turned into the white dragon.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be Daniels, right? So I keep wanting to call him Jeff Daniels, Gary Daniels.
She's like, you can't do that. You're not in good shape.
And then he's, you know, so it cuts after that. So you think that he's going to still try to do it or whatever. No, of course, then the girl is much shorter than Gary Daniels. So you know it's not...
Showing off his muscles, his mesomorph body the entire time.
Right. And so Lenore is like, that's got to be the girl.
Yeah, it's also the only thing that would have dealt with the sexism bit.
Yeah, see, that was actually a good thing with the movie. It's yes, like,
I agree.
Because at the end of it, the kid was like, oh, you're not too bad. But then I hated the one line after that with the teenage kid saying, yeah, you're not too bad for a girl.
I know.
And I was like...
ridiculous. She just kicked everybody's ass and saved your life.
Yeah, she saved your butt, and you're going to say that even though you like her? You know, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And they did that probably because... at that time, 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds and whatnot don't like girls. Girls have cooties, you know, and shit.
Cootie spray. Shh.
That's literally things that kids say and stuff. And
ridiculous. Yet,
you know, I can't believe I, at one point, kind of went through that thing where I'm, like, hanging out with my boys, hanging out with my friends, guy friends, and screw girls. And
rose before hose.
Yeah. As a little child. You know, but whatever, you know, it happens.
Yeah, she was as good, if not better, than the other two.
Oh, she was definitely better than the other. She was better than the other two, I believe.
I mean, I don't know that she was the person who did all her stunts, because you never could tell, because they all had masks on. But, you know, at least her character was competent. You know, I liked her character.
She was competent. I liked her character, period, because she was sweet.
Yeah, the other teenage boy, he was decent too, even though he's embarrassed by his mom. The little Stevie, though, he was just irritating.
He was just pain in the ass. Which he was so much better than the Lost Sea Serpent.
He was.
You know, and I think literally a lot of that probably has to do with the other guy, the other director, coming in and telling him, oh, you got to be like this. I would love to have been there. I'm sad that he's no longer with us, because I would love to ask him. But I would have loved to, like, hear if he said to the girl, to the guy, like, that's not the way Donald G. Jackson wanted us to do it.
Maybe someday we could find Sandy and interview her.
I don't know. I don't even know what her real name is, because there's no way that's her real name.
I know. We'll have to dig it up. I mean, it's just like, you know, I've been searching the globe to see if I can find... Sandra Shirker from Roller Gator.
Yeah.
You know, it's been difficult tracking her down.
They find some really cool, like, kids, you know, to seem like they're probably, you know, good actors and could do, you know, whatever.
Give them a chance. See what happens.
Sandra Shirker, is that her name? She was great in Roller Gator. Really thought she was fantastic, but... and the Roller Gator himself was cute. And that was Donald G. Jackson's voice, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know. And you got to see Baby Ghost someday.
Yes.
I have seen it.
Have you?
Yeah. You showed me it, remember?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Did you buy it?
Yeah.
You have a copy of it? Because I remember...
somewhere.
I had to rent it off of YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, I have the digital someplace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just don't remember you seeing it with me. But that makes sense.
Yeah, the ghost that likes donuts and all that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I think you did see that with me. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's funny. You've seen so many movies with her, you can't even remember what you watched.
I know.
That's hilarious, because
she never told me. She was my movie buddy for a long time.
But was that had to have been after we watched it, right?
I think so.
You know, after you got back from California? You watched it or before?
Don't remember.
Oh, anyway. So.
But she's not seen Little Lost Sea Serpent.
I have not, no.
No. Because we just watched that for the first time.
Oh, yeah, it's been a while.
Like, yeah, it was like last year.
Yeah, we'll have to show you that next time when you come on down.
Yep, definitely.
Complete your Donald G. Jackson trilogy.
Kitty trilogy.
Three and a half, anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you already watched this. This is a half of one.
Right.
You know, so nice. I'm happy that he, you know, that he was able to make this, and he made it as well as he could. Mm-hmm. It's just the other guys really fucked it up. Absolutely. And I just can't, you know.
He's weird.
Man,
well, straight. Well, he's a lot more fun than you. And
I know.
Better. Made a better movie than yours.
Well, see, that goes to the thing. It's like people think people are weird, but they are the ones who make the better movies because they know kind of what they want to do. And because if you take a person who makes weird movie away from them, and then you try to make it, you know, and you're not like anything like them, then you're not going to make the same movie.
Right.
And that's the problem. Right. This movie was just so disjointed, as was mentioned. So, I don't know.
It's unfortunate. But, you know, we got to review the movie on what we have as opposed to what we wanted to see.
Or what could have been.
What could have been.
And had Donald G. Jackson directed this whole movie, it probably might have been called Roller Ninjas, and it would have been a much more fun, you know, movie. I think there would have been more roller skating.
It would have been a lot less fail.
Yeah, a lot more roller skating and a lot more kicking butt.
And who knows, maybe even a roller gator might have popped in. How awesome would that have been?
And maybe less montaging of random staying still and fighting. That was just padding just drove.
We were all groaning in pain after a while watching all those forms just over and over and over.
All right. Well, we are at that point actually right now. Okay. Give our reviews. Now, Paul, explain to everybody the stinkometer.
So we rate our movies on a 1 to 10 scale, by which the higher the movie, the more the stink. So if it's got a 10, you know it's a big barrel of slimy stinkometer stuff. And if it's a 1, it's actually a pretty darn good movie. And if it's a 5, it's kind of meh. You know. And you can give a half step if you so feel inclined. And then we take up our scores, we add them up, and then we figure out what is the stinkiest movie of the year. This is a pretty stinky movie. I don't know that it quite compares to some of the other stinkers we've got, but it definitely has fail moments there, so I'm very curious as to hear what you guys have to say.
Let's go with Lenore first.
I'd say it's 7.5.
7.5?
It's not the worst by any means, but all of the tricks they did to try and pad out the runtime are just painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They could have had a decent short film, like 30 minutes tops. It's a painful 90-minute film instead.
Right. And again, the Donald G. Jackson stuff would have been so much better if they had just let him make the movie. But.
All right. Well, I'm not going to be as nice on that. I think it's a 9.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very stinky. It's not a 10. You know, like I thought about it. I was almost going to give it a 10. But I think John O.G. Jackson saves it enough where his stuff was fun, but his stuff's so small in the like scheme of everything that I just still have to give it a 9.
Well, I don't know if it's small. It's the general frame of the film, and then the other people sort of tacked on their stuff and tried to do the best they could, which was, of course, really bad.
I feel like he did like 45 minutes, and the rest of them did the other 45.
I'm going to go 8.5. It's bad, but it's not Donald G. Jackson's fault.
None of it's his fault.
Well, I mean, if it had been left alone, there would have been other stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous seeing kids fighting as ninjas in roller skates. But
that would have been fun.
Right. That would have been at least fun bad. This, you know, and we never really got a chance to explore a lot of that stuff. So, but again, we have seen much worse. It's just like Lenore pointed out, the padding that was added by the later stuff was just painful. And it just sank the movie, you know, unfortunately.
It did.
So 7.5, an 8.5, and a 9?
9, there you go. That's pretty high up there.
So honestly. That's 25 total. Okay.
25, yeah. It's still
in bad.
Mid-20s. It's pretty bad. We've had worse. We just did worse before. Which, I even told you this wasn't going to be as bad as the last one we just watched, but it was pretty bad. I mean, it wasn't a nice movie.
So right about this time when I was like, I can't wait to get back to North Carolina and back to school.
Right, you're thinking that? You're like, oh man, I'm done with these stinky movies. know.
Next time we won't pummel you with so much bad crap.
Yeah.
We'll stick a good movie in there, too.
Yeah, I think you, I mean, I guess if you, I don't know what time you're sleeping, but you could probably give her a good movie to end the night on.
Well, we have a couple of connections still to watch, if you want.
Oh, no, yeah. I've got to go, but I appreciate that, you know.
Yeah, and I do like the history stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Good, yeah. See, that is completely different than these stinky movies that we watch.
But they're fun, and, you know, there's, you know, since the entire movie was one big giant continuity issue, there was no point in out squeaking the monkey because, there, you know, it just would have been constant because of the cutting and bringing in different footage and having them not match up. It just, would have been bad. So,
we've got about 5 minutes left still of the show. I wanted to kind of let people know sort of what's going on. We've been sort of doing these episodes, you know, ahead of time, you know. So this is actually December. This is even 2021 when we're doing this.
But still season 5.
It's, you know, yeah, we're definitely doing it. This is season 5. We've already done season 4, so it's not like we just skipped ahead. But it's, you know, it's interesting to be able to record these ahead of time through either just getting it done now, or we're going to be doing a lot of Zoom.
The magic of Zoom.
So we can get other guests and everything. And I think also a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're going to be busy this year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a ton of content coming to you guys, to Indie Film Cafe, as well as Echo Lake Universe, Cyclic Production stuff. So this is going to be, 2022 is kind of going to be the busiest year so far. We had a pretty busy year last year, I want to say.
Oh, yeah. Every year is a busy year.
Yeah, every year it gets busier and busier, except 2020. 2020 was only busy, but I don't know, not really much. We kind of took a break, and obviously for reasons, you know. I mean, how was your 2020?
Well, I graduated, and then I went to PhD, so decent enough.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I'm thinking about that. You graduated, then you left, you left Paul's, right?
Yeah.
And everything, and you went back home and did some more school, and now you're continuing it. So that's amazing.
And you got to see 4 stinkers with us. You think the Ice Cream Bunny was the best movie out of the 4?
Yeah, which one was the best? She's thinking about it. It's not
probably
an easy choice.
Probably this one, but
really?
They're all kind of bad.
Wait, so this one was more fun for you or something, or what?
If I had the choice to remove all of the padding stuff, yes, it would be more fun.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. So if you could have the choice of removing all the punchy...
Better than the bunny. Wow.
Well, okay. It's probably because it's, you know, she didn't have to give it a 10.
And suffer through Thumbelina.
And Thumbelina was rough, you know, so... I don't think that's that story, the way they did it. I'd have to reread.
And plus, I mean, good Lord, the Turkish Star Wars was so incoherent. I mean, no.
Oh, that bored her. That put her to sleep. So
no,
I knew that
the
wasn't
first clue what was going on in that film.
And Fun in Balloon Land wasn't.
Oh God, what a torture!
This was just a long commercial.
Yeah, it was a long commercial for
a balloon
company. Yeah,
as you do.
I've never seen a commercial for a balloon company at all until that movie. So there you go.
But pay attention and watch Indie Film Cafe, because these are the movies we talk about.
Yeah, these are the movies we do. We're trying to give you guys more content. We got YouTube. We got TikTok now. So we're going to be putting up more content on TikTok. We'll try to do some live videos there when we're shooting stuff or whatever, and just doing as much as we can. You know, kind of keeping.
Yeah.
Keeping you guys active and just making stuff.
And I'm trying to update the stinkometer. You know, the ladder of stink was nice, but it keeps getting longer and longer and longer, and it's getting harder and harder and harder to keep that that image thing going. So I'm trying to transition into a new set of images. I just haven't quite figured it out yet.
It won't be the ladder of stink? Or...
Well, no, the ladder's going to be, you know, temporarily retired for the moment, but... The stinkometer is still up there, and the reviews are all still up there, so that those links are still working.
And also, I'll be doing all the reviews of my stuff.
Yeah, the stuff that I'm not part of.
Yeah. Okay. Because I thought, yeah. So the stuff that Paul's not part of, and then when he is a part of it, even if I'm doing it, he'll...
Yeah, I can write those. That's not a problem.
Yeah, because you've already seen them.
Exactly.
it's like then you have to go watch the movies.
Exactly. And, which sometimes I have the time, sometimes I do not.
I know, and stuff, it's rough, too, sometimes, I think, because you don't know, you just don't have time.
I mean, Terra Bigfoot Pond, I'm going to look at, because that's one I would have looked at anyway. I just have
no opportunity. Well, you like your Bigfoot movies.
I love my Bigfoot movies.
Especially
when it's a puddle instead of a pond.
Yeah, God. But they can't, it was called Pond, and I guarantee you that either that wasn't the real Bigfoot Pond, and they just called that the Bigfoot Pond, or if that, because there is a place, they had a sign for Bigfoot Pond, I'm pretty sure they didn't have the money to put that up there. So I think
Bigfoot mud puddle.
Yeah, I don't know if that would work. Would you be scared of a movie called Terror Bigfoot Mud Puddle?
No.
I don't think you'd be scared of a movie called Terror Bigfoot
Puddle. I don't know that any of the movies we've shown this weekend brought any kind of terror at all, did it? No.
No, but, well, one might give her nightmares because
crunchy teeth.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah,
the only thing that I could imagine is give her nightmares is the lady saying that on Fun in Balloon Land.
Fun in Balloon Land.
Oh, the drunk lady. So please check those out. Those are on our Fun in Balloon Land is on our YouTube channel. If you go back, there's a Christmas episode.
Mm-hmm.
And
drop that Christmas morning like a present.
And the Patreon only, we did the Santa Claus and the Ice Cream, or Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
Yep.
Which, ugh.
Trust me, for a buck, you want that. You want all of our content that's going to be Patreon only, because we get to talk about all kinds of wackadoodle stuff.
Exactly. Which is fun.
Yeah.
I don't mind it, at all. I love doing this. Like, we've been doing this for 5 years almost, or whatever, and me and you have been, just hanging out doing this stuff for a while.
These are movies we would be watching anyway, so.
Yeah, so we might as well talk about them and try to
talk about them.
Word out there about them. And we normally love the movies or whatever. We're not saying don't watch it. In fact, we're telling you to watch these movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if we don't like it and give it a whatever, please go watch it. Because, if we had to suffer through it, so do you.
That's right.
Right, so there monkey. You go. Yep, the monkey agrees. So thank you guys. Tune in next, I guess it's going to be next week.
Next episode.
Going to be next episode. So check out Paul's episodes and everything and my episodes. We're going to be doing 3 episodes a week.
Boy, let's see how this works. A month, please.
A month, 3 episodes a month, yeah. Not a week.
No.
I don't think you can barely take it per month.
No.
So thank you guys for checking this out, and thank you, Lenore, for coming.
Thanks, Lenore. We appreciate
you.
We do.
You're very appreciated here at Indie Film Cafe, and we can't wait to have you back.
Yay.
And thank you guys, everybody. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.